I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ellie Mack, and Dylan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Someone gave us a C-. We'll talk about that in a second. But Mike, I swear, since you've brought up this apatai.
Oh, gosh.
Song.
Dude.
I went to the movies last night. I saw Superman.
Dreams.
So one of the previews for was for Cat in the Hat. And that is the theme song for Cat in the Hat.
No.
Apatai.
Oh, my God. I can tell you where I'll be going to the movie theater to watch that, just from the simple fact that my kid loves that song and loves Dr. Seuss, so I'm cooked.
Alec, can I get your quick thoughts on Superman? Because I am definitely going to go see it, and I'm wondering your review on it.
I loved it.
Nice.
Here's the thing, though. I'm not someone that's walking into a movie theater ever to be like, let me be critical. Let me not have
Roger
a good
Ebert
time.
In there?
No, I paid my money. I'm here to have a good time. I'm going to have fun.
Was I entertained for 2 hours?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Was I thinking about stress, bills, work? No, I wasn't. I was watching Superman. So it was good to me. I don't want to say anything about it though, because we specifically went last night to avoid spoilers.
Well, right. let me ask, can you tell us if it falls in line with the way the DC movies have been done recently, like Justice League? And the way I say that is DC has a way of kind of being a little bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the way the movies are shot in a different light, but like it just seems a little more harsh reality the way they do some of their movies, you know,
uh-huh.
Like the Justice League and Batman vs. Superman and all that. Is it shot very similar to all those, or is it completely just in its own light? Because I think Zack Snyder did most of those.
Yeah, I feel like it was lighter than what you're used to with DC, but there was one little part of the plot where I was like, and just kind of raised my eyebrow, like, did we need that?
Yeah.
But other than that, overall, a good time.
DC has more of a violent feel, I guess I should say. Even the even the Christian Bale Batmans has felt a little bit more like dark than like Iron Man or whatever.
Nah, you're not getting this. I will say when the credits started rolling and the song is playing for Superman, Grant looked over at me and goes, top tier theme song. So excited.
Top five Tuesday will be top five superheroes.
Grant has those little movie nerd moments. It's fun.
It was adorable.
I will say just very quickly to Bo's point about DC being darker because James Gunn, I think he recently, like a year or so ago, he took over DC. He used to be with Marvel. So I'm actually excited for DC and the new like direction it seems like they're headed towards, because I feel like while the continuity wasn't bad per se, I just feel like the continuity will be better and the storytelling may be a little bit better. Not to say that Zack Snyder or anybody did a bad job when he was over it, but I'm excited for the new direction. I'll just say that.
Dylan, I think you'll like this mix of it because it definitely had the James Gunn flair to it.
Right. And so. He did the Guardians of the Galaxy for anybody who doesn't know. So
I just miss movie theaters, man. It's been so long. Like I have not been to a movie theater in so long.
You need to go.
I know. Like,
get out there.
And like when we do get a babysitter or whatever, like my wife, the last place she wants to go is movie theater. We go like out to dinner, right? And, and I just, man, like movie theater, just I've been to like one in the last 5 years. It's time. You know, and my son's getting to the age where I can take him. Like the Tap House, the Springs Tap House up in Sandy Springs, they do like a 10 a.m. movie.
Okay.
Yeah, for the kids.
There
I'm
you
like,
go.
Dude, I'm doing that. I'm definitely doing that soon.
And when it's a kids movie, I mean, everybody understands what's going on.
Right.
There's going to be iPads. There's, you know, there's going to be kids running around. There's going to be crying.
One of them be wearing headphones plugged into an iPad.
Yeah, you're all in this together. So that 10 a.m. movie, that's gold for you. I do want to talk about Bill Barnwell's 2025 NFL offseason grades. I am a person that likes to get A's and B's. So seeing that the Falcons got a C-, I'm a little confused on this.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing that he didn't like in this article when I was looking over it was he basically didn't like the trade for James Pierce. And his reason was is that, well, they could suck. And Barnwell wasn't the one. The grade was the Dawson Caesar grade was Seth Walter. And what he didn't like about it was, well, you know, James Pierce, if they suck this year, which they can, we haven't seen anything from Michael Penix Jr. was his stance on it, that they might have just traded away a very high draft pick. But I will say this, he's one of the few, Walter's one of the few people that I've read that love the fact they released Grady Jarrett, not love, but endorse is what he put, because of the money and overpaying for Grady and letting Dahlman walk.
Yeah, I like that part of the article.
What I liked about the article was he actually did the research. He made the point that I think he really just tuned into our show.
Yeah, because, that's what he's doing.
Because you and I made this stance constantly that Dahlman started 9 games and Neusel started 8. And he wrote that, look, when Neusel started those games, Neusel did well. And the offense did well.
Yeah, and that's where we have landed. And I don't think anybody here, at least not on this show, has made the argument that Drew Dahlman is not a better center than Ryan Neusel. That's not what it is. It's all about value. It's all about how much you are paying a guy like Drew Dahlman to be your center as opposed to Ryan Neusel. And let's just be straight up honest. We are up against the cap because the fact that our backup quarterback is making, you know, 40-some-odd million dollars. It is what it is. You cannot afford to go out and overpay a center. As much as Mark Zeno has gone on Twitter and wanted to make the point that you have to re-sign your mid-round draft picks that you develop no matter what, you just can't afford to overpay a position like that. I've said this a number of times. We are an offensive line friendly offense. We are. We are a friendly offense to offensive linemen. That's why you feel like you can plug in different players at different spots and be pretty good. I don't think Chris Lindstrom would be ranked as highly as a guard in a number of other offenses. He just wouldn't. I don't think he would be that guy for the Detroit Lions. But we are very friendly, and so when you have the ability to plug in a guy like Ryan Neusel, who you know is at least serviceable in that role, then you take the opportunity to do that and save a little bit of money.
What, that's such a blind statement that, and I know why. I know Mark's got a valid point with that, but every situation is not the same. What is better, blindly playing a guy who missed half the season last year, what, $15 million a year because you drafted him in the middle round, or saving like $10 million a year on a guy that was undrafted who you also developed?
Exactly.
What, and they're comparable.
Yeah.
They're not – there. Is there a $10 million difference in what Drew Dahlman puts on the field and on tape and then what Ryan Neusel puts on there?
Yeah.
Because I would tell you there's not.
No.
I think NFL executives would tell you they're not, most of them.
There is there are slight differences, and I think that I am a massive fan of Drew Dahlman. I don't know that Drew Dahlman, and I'm just going to throw this out there, he's not going to have the success in Chicago that he had in Atlanta. Just point blank, he's just not going to. It is not – they don't run the same offense. You just had almost historically the most sacked quarterback in NFL history in Caleb Williams up in Chicago last year. He's going to be asked to do things a little bit differently. And that's just that's the bottom line with this entire situation. I don't want to focus too much on just that conversation. Obviously, we're talking about Bill Barnwell's grades for the offseason, giving the Falcons a C-. I don't think that the grade is good. I don't think C- is the grade. But if he'd have said C+, I'd have been fine with it. And that's just me being a realist about some of the situation. We don't know what Michael Penix is. But we know that he's got a very expensive backup, right? And you know, we don't know what James Pierce is going to be. We don't know what Jalen Walker is going to be. And the fact that you spent 2 first round draft picks, this is not Abdul Carter. You didn't, you know, trade 2 picks to draft up and draft this, you know, Miles Garrett. You drafted a couple of guys that you think can develop into being good pass rushers, not locks, not top 3 picks. I will say I like the James Pierce move a lot more than I do, you know, Kyle Pitts being drafted 4th, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. That's a tight end. This is a position. This is a guy that you absolutely need. This is something the Falcons have not had. So taking taking Bill Barnwell's approach, I think he looks at it and goes, oh, well, you know, that was a little bit crazy. If you've watched the Falcons pass rush for the last 15 years, you don't think it's that crazy when you're resigned to think of James Pierce as a transitional player and who can make it in the pros. then Falcons fans don't think it's that crazy because we've been grasping at straws in the pass rush for the last 15 years. If you believe in the guy, then you trade whatever is necessary to go up and get him. And maybe he's not worth a top 10 pick from next year, but I promise you that most Falcons fans agree that something has to be done and you have to do something drastic, and this is what they chose to do.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest part for me is not what the assessment of was the Falcons, but what the other teams that I think had worst off seasons got rated better. I mean, Cleveland is a team that got a B+ in this ranking, and so their biggest move was basically passing on Travis Hunter for draft picks. Now, yeah, they got a steal. Then the move that was disliked was extending Myles Garrett, which I'm not sure how you can hate extending the best pass rusher in football or one of the top three. But then on top of all of that, they get a little bit of love for using picks that they traded Travis Hunter away for, essentially, to draft not one but two quarterbacks in the middle to late in the draft in Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. So you're telling me you wholeheartedly believe that what Cleveland did in the draft and in the offseason was better than what the Falcons did? Because maybe I'm looking at it through red and black glasses, but I can't get on board with that.
Yeah.
Why would you take two quarterbacks, trade for one, and sign another one and say, well, we're going to push all our chips in with these four quarterbacks, one guy who's, 40, one guy who hasn't on his third team in as many years, and then two guys who the league thought so much of that they were available in like the fifth round.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's a better offseason. And I don't like them re-signing one of the top four edge rushers in football. But yeah, that's a B+.
I'm with you on that. There was a number of different – and I'm not resigned. The Steelers got a C in their offseason grade. I'm not resigned to the Steelers getting a C. I realize that you got big names. You got big names. Like, it sounds really cool getting Aaron Rodgers. Sounds really cool getting Jalen Ramsey. 5 years ago, this would have been like the greatest offseason ever when you look at those names. Jonnu Smith, I think, obviously that's a good player. You also got rid of Minkah Fitzpatrick. You kind of kicked the tires on Matthew Stafford and, you know, the whole Russell Wilson, Justin Fields saga and everything like that. So I do have questions about some of the people that were up ahead of the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think there's any doubt. I just look at the Falcons, and like I said, if the Falcons had gotten a C+, I'd been fine with it. I think that they're kind of in that range. He doesn't even mention the fact that my biggest issue with the offseason, which you and I have talked about until we're blue in the face, we didn't get any run-stopping defensive tackles. Grady Jarrett left, Eddie Goldman left. We're going to replace them with Ruka Roro.
Brandon Dorlus.
And Fox, Morgan Fox.
Yeah, and Dorlus as well.
Dorlus does not scream run stopper to me. That's my only question. And we couldn't stop the run with those two guys last year. Yeah. So maybe it's addition by subtraction.
Well, I think you're better linebacker wise than you've been. I think Jalen Walker could have a big deal in helping that. Well, the other thing was, if you look at Atlanta, one or two things is going to happen. Terry Fontenot is going to be sitting here with a crap ton of money, whereas he won't have a first-round pick. He's going to be able to go out and add an addition to this team on one side of the ball and really make a difference, depending on what the free agent class looks like, right? Because Kirk Cousins is going to come off the books. Or a new GM is going to come in here and have a crap ton of money to deal with and to sign players with. And that's one of the things that's good. You know, we can talk about the cap now and how the Falcons are against it. But next year, you're going to open up some money. But, hey, you're also going to have to probably go ahead and extend Drake London. Because you're not because I don't see in any way, shape, or form Kyle Pitts being back here next year. And that might be the position you have to go – you might have to go spend on, or there's going to be a second-round tight end picked.
There's no doubt. And I know that we're going to get into the skill group rankings coming up here very, very soon, and that there is an obvious anchor in that situation when you look at the rankings, and that's one of them. So I'm with you. I don't know. I look at these rankings, these offseason rankings, and I kind of look at it because I try to be objective, even though we're all Falcons fans in here. I try to look at it and go, okay, well, what is he seeing? But it's you start looking at some of the other things and some of the other people that got better grades than the Falcons. You're like, dude, some of this is just not adding up. That's just like, how can you be a fan of this move, not a fan of that move?
It feels like. And what I love is Walter mentioned in here, he goes, you know, I like the fact that they let Kirk Cousins stay. I mean, you know, so it costs them an extra $10 million. He goes, if you're only looking at, if you're worried about the $10 million, it's relatively, it's a good deal for the best backup in football. And you could see that if Cousins gets in. But I feel like even that compliment in there, there still is this cloud hanging over that we're judged still by this Kirk Cousins situation. And that's part of it. It's irritating as hell, really.
It's just going to be there until the season gets started. And we all really want to know how the Falcons are sizing up. So we're, like Mike mentioned, we're going to dissect another Falcons ranking list, but we'll use numbers instead of letters on this next one. It's based on wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift on a Friday at 7:24.
Wow.
Dylan's waving his finger.
He has infiltrated your brain, my friend. Wow.
Yeah.
I wondered if it would happen. I used to drop it sometimes.
I mean, how can you not say Friday? It's totally a yay feeling on a Friday. It makes sense.
Does feel good.
By the way, that's Mike. You've got Bo here. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass, and he is the one that says Friday every single Friday. Ding. So we just talked about that one article that had the Falcons ranked as a C-. We're about to get into another one that had us ranked in the top 10. I'll tell you the placement in a moment, but I need to know, Bo, if today is the day where you start this war in the backyard with the Yellow Jackets.
Oh, wow.
Is it going down today?
I'm planning on it going down today unless something pops up. But yeah,
rain
I want it. I need it to rain because it'll kind of. I think it could be good. It kind of quieten that nest, especially if it rains a little bit tonight. That'd be good. Then I can.
It is definitely Yellow Jackets, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
just making sure. Anybody that hasn't listened, he's been in a battle with Yellow Jackets.
I'm still itching from it, which apparently I guess that means I had a pretty good allergic reaction to it. If like 5 days later you're still itching like crazy. But yeah, it's going to go down and I'm going to.
You're going to get a little liquid courage tonight?
Well, I won't. It's not the revenge I want, it's the reckoning. All right?
Wow.
They have it coming. They invaded my terror. And you can say, well, it's nature. Let me tell you something. I bought that nature square, all right? And it's mine.
Where's your lease, Yellow Jacket?
Yeah. So unless they can, you know what? I'd let them live rent-free if they wouldn't come at me. But they, no, they couldn't be cool.
They're going to stink Squid Billy. They got to put something on the mortgage.
They They couldn't have peace. So therefore, I'm going to murder all of them.
Wow.
Well, and we will have an immediate update because, reminder, tomorrow, Dylan, myself, and Bo are going to be broadcasting live from Murph's at 10 a.m. So we might have a swelled up Squidbilly tomorrow, depending on how this war goes tonight.
Yeah, it might be a two-person show.
I have some. If you make it in, and hopefully make it in because you're not too swelled up, I'll have some afterbite for you.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a couple of days now.
You've been stringing
it. But no, but yesterday I said that I would have it for him on Saturday. I never said yesterday. I said Saturday.
The day before you said tomorrow. So.
Yeah, and I forgot that day.
Why didn't you bring it today?
I just didn't think about it.
Because I said Saturday.
Just went ahead and called your shot.
Dylan, I...
Tomorrow, I got you, though, for real.
Everything about me that knows about you knows that you wholeheartedly believe that, and everything I know says it is not happening.
It ain't.
I'm not trying to
fair?
Be a jerk.
No, it's
I'm just
fair.
Trying to be realistic.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it right by the counter, right by the island that we have in our apartment. And I walk right by it before I walk out the door. I'm going to put it right there. So I see it when I walk out the door, and I don't forget it. That's what I'm going
to
do.
All right. 10 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see if Dylan holds true to his word. But right now, we're going to talk about where the Falcons rank in the NFL based solely on their wide receiver, running back, and tight end spots. Guys, I know you two were very excited to talk about this situation. We'll cut right to it. They were ranked at number 9 on the top 10. The last 2 years, they were at 10. So how are you feeling about that ranking?
I actually don't have a problem with it. But shockingly, I know we get on the show more times than not on sports radio and we rant about the ranking or, you know, whatever it may be. I think 9's about right. I think, and he talks about, he gives more weight to wide receivers. You know, Saquon Barkley, as he mentions at the top of the article, is paid $20 million a year, is the highest paid running back in the NFL. And there's 21 wide receivers that are paid higher than that. It's just the formula to win gives more weight to wide receivers in the NFL right now. And we've got two good wide receivers and possibly a third in Ray-Ray McCloud, but Darnell Mooney, Drake London, obviously. But the albatross in the room is we're being anchored or, you know, weighed down a little bit by what Kyle Pitts has been. And there's no doubt about that. You cannot really deny that Kyle Pitts has not lived up to expectations. And I think 9 is just fine for where we're at.
I didn't appreciate the way he talked about Bijan Robinson. It was a lot of emphasis put on the fact that he hasn't had any plays over, I think, 40 yards, which is something that it needs to improve this year. There's no doubt that's the next step in the evolution of Bijan Robinson as an NFL player, especially when I think he had like 5 or 6 plays of over 40 yards in his final year at the University of Texas. I probably have the biggest issue with San Francisco being at 4. They lose Debo. They have Brandon Ayuk coming off a torn ACL. Christian McCaffrey, that was talked about. He may never even play again. Now, they do have Ricky Pearsall. They have Juwan Jennings, who had a good year, and George Kittle. So that one was a little bit like, man, really? You think they're 4? And I had a huge issue with it when I first heard it, because I think between London, Robinson, and Darnell Mooney, you've got 3 of the most dynamic players that in the NFL, and I think some of them don't get as much credit as they deserve. But then to Mike's narrative,
it still counts.
You
it
look does. At Baltimore, and they had Derrick Henry, they have Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers. Okay. DeAndre Hopkins added there. Rashad Bateman, I think. The Bucs are ahead of us. The Vikings probably should have been higher than the Niners because they came in at 6. I absolutely just whiffed yesterday when we were talking about Matthew Stafford, the fact they got Devontae Adams now.
Oh, I forgot about that too, yeah.
And that's one of those moves. So that one's surprising. But you know what's weird to me is where are the Dolphins at on this?
Right behind us. Right behind us at 10.
Are you surprised we're ahead of the Dolphins?
Yes and no. I think that all of their guys that are on this list, and I'm going to – Jonnu Smith is no longer there, so I can say this. All the guys on this list were underwhelming last year. Devon Achane, I put him very high in our running back rankings when we were talking about it. But I think, you know, look, what did he have, 800 yards rushing last year? It is what it is. You know, Jalen Waddle has had his injuries, Tyreek Hill. And all of this goes back to, and the reason this article is written is because you are talking about what these teams have done to surround these quarterbacks with playmakers. And when that quarterback is not there, and that has been the story, we talked about it yesterday with Tua Tagovailoa, when he's on the field, he's been great for the most part. Even when he came back from injury last year, though, this offense struggled at times. And if you remember, and I was thinking about this morning on the way in, you remember last year, the very final week of the season, how everybody's paying attention to these playoff races and everything else, and the Dolphins are still alive. And Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, has to come out and say, you know what, we're going to run it back with Mike McDaniel next year. You're like, what? Like, what? Where did that come from? Usually if you have to put out a statement like that, it's not a good thing. So, yeah, the Dolphins, while you think – I think we all see the Tyreek Hill of the world and Jalen Waddle and everything else, they were underwhelming at times last year. And I think that 10's about right for them as well. I like the fact that the Falcons are right there in front of them, to say the least.
Tyreek Hill wanted out too. And it was this whole thing. And apparently I was reading an article from from Miami. And don't ask me how I got there. But I went down a rabbit hole as yesterday, actually, during a commercial break. And I started reading an article from Miami about, it was about the wide receiver camp that they had.
Ocho Cinco.
I was trying to figure out if Drake went. I couldn't find anything that Drake went. But basically, Tyreek Hill's like, look, I'm good to go. He blamed some of his stuff last year on like a wrist or something, injury, but he seems happy to be back. Does Tua stay healthy? Can he get the ball? But they have a crew that could be very good. I think what happens with some of these guys, and remind me what our guy's name was in Houston. He's now he was the OC in Houston.
Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick. I think the Mike McDaniels and the Bobby Slowicks, they come in and they start running these offenses, and they've been behind guys like Shanahan's and McVay's, right? And they start running these offenses, and they have taken that offense and they have in their mind created this new wrinkle. And nobody picks up on it, right? For maybe even a whole season.
Right.
But then the league spends an entire offseason figuring you out. And sometimes they're so smart, and maybe it's the smartest guy in the room mindset where they're like, yeah, they're not going to figure this out for a couple years. And then then the league does. And now you're sitting there and you're holding in your hands.
Well, I agree with you, but I actually approach it from a different perspective. Sometimes when these guys who are good offensive coordinators, let's just use Mike McDaniels, what happens when they have success? All the guys like your Tyreek, your Jalen Waddles, all of a sudden, all of them want contract extensions. They want new money. This is what's happened in Miami. Well, guess who you can't pay? Your offensive guards, your center, Tron Armstead retires. Now all of a sudden, those guys might be great. But Tua's having to get the ball out in under 1 second, or he's getting hit. And that's exactly what has happened in Miami. I don't know that it's so much that they figured out Miami or he has not been able to overcome some of that stuff, but you've had to put a lot of money into those skill position players because their numbers were so high 2 years ago, and the protection in front of him has completely broken down.
It's funny because 2 years ago, which would have been the 23 season, right, was when they kind of blew up a little bit with some of that.
Yeah.
But I remember watching film with an NFL guy 2 years ago, and basically we were looking at the Dolphins, and he was like, "They're not good up front. They're soft up front." And this is not me saying this. This is an NFL guy, and he's like, "Look, their scheme is good. They're soft. You know, they're gonna have trouble with physical teams." And guess what happened that year? Every time they played a physical team, they had trouble. Narrative, it's been doubled down. I won't say point anymore, but for your narrative, the league doubled down on that, and it cost them last year.
Well, and if you are counting down, it's officially 8 Sundays away this Sunday. So we are getting there. We're getting close. Coming up, we're going to get you an update on that Braves game, a loss, but it took a while, and we've got Fair or Foul Friday. Fair or foul, after the All-Star break, the Braves will hit their stride and get back to 500. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Ally Mac, and Dylan. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Braves lost. We'll get to that in a moment. But what is the latest social media ad that has gotten you? Because I'm getting hammered with mushroom coffee ads. And when my sister was at my house over the weekend, she was like, "Oh, you got this one? I got this one." So we both bought the mushroom coffee.
I noticed you'd been a little bit aloof here recently. I got by an Instagram. Yeah, big word. I got by an Instagram ad for the you guys seen the retro gaming stick where it has like the 40,000 games, 50,000 games in one.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude,
I get those too,
dude. And I had to order one, and I'm taking it.
You did?
Yeah, I ordered one.
Wow.
Look how excited.
Yeah,
Dylan
dude.
Is.
It's legit. It's legit. Comes with a couple wireless controllers. Introduced my son to it a couple days ago. We're going to take it down on our beach trip because there's supposed to be a couple rainy days.
Okay.
There's a bunch of cousins that'll be down there. And I'm like, dude, I'm about to introduce you to Sonic. You're about to get a crash course in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, buddy, because it's about to go down.
That's
I don't
a
know.
Good
like
one.
That was my game when I was young, Sonic the Hedgehog. He likes Mario right now, but Sonic the Hedgehog was my thing.
Sonic the Ridge.
it's got to be covered, like, filled with so many games from childhood, like Tetris.
There's not one that's not on there.
Okay.
Like, any game you can think of is on this thing, from like Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, you know, regular Nintendo. I'm trying to think what else. There's like every console imaginable on this thing, all the way up to like before Nintendo 64.
Pong.
The OG NBA Jam was pretty freaking good. The OG, like, I remember having it on the I think it was the Sega Game Gear. I think is what it was called.
Yes.
Because they came out, it was basically the response to a Game Boy. You know, believe it or not, Dylan, the Nintendo DS or whatever you call it is not the OG handheld gaming.
I never said that. That wasn't.
Remember,
you know?
Remember the Game Gear was the first color one. Like the Game Boy was like, you know,
Game Boy color, yeah,
black and white. But the Game Gear came out and it was color. You were like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whoa, it's not just
crazy.
Black and like weird gray cream.
Yeah. But it was big. It was bigger than the Game Boy. It was like, what would you call it? Like
basically rectangle? Like a cell phone now.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Game Gear was like, I mean, that was like holding
did you,
the
did you
whole
ever
device.
See Surf Ninjas? The movie,
yeah.
Surf Ninjas?
Yes.
He has a game, Game Gear on there where he's like, you can tell the future in the Game Gear. It was crazy.
Yeah. I remember Surf.
Such a good movie.
While we're on the topic of.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, Dylan.
Movies. It's okay.
How the hell you pull a Surf Ninjas reference out? But I sit here and quote Goodfellas or Casino and you're like, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Because I was a child back then, dude. Like, that's what we watched. We watched children's movies, Surf Ninjas, not Casino when I was four, okay?
Well, how do you remember a movie when you were... you know what? I got nothing.
But Surf Ninjas is one of the Roman Empires for men. Like, a lot of guys know about Surf Ninjas.
Go ahead, Dylan.
While we're on the topic and putting a bow, no pun intended, on the bow on the topic of video games, real quick, this is a fun fact I saw on social media the other day. Carmelo Anthony, he actually completed the basketball video game cycle. Have y'all seen this? He is now, because he's on the cover of the NBA 2K26 Legends Edition.
Okay.
He has been on the cover of NCAA March Madness 2004, which apparently they're bringing back the college basketball game. But he's on the cover of NCAA March Madness 2004, NBA Live 2005. He was on the cover of NBA Street Home Court, and now he's on the cover of one of the editions of NBA 2K26.
He is, in fact, an NBA legend.
Look at that.
Check that out, man.
Hawks legend,
Carmelo Anthony.
Oh!
Well, moving over to the Braves, they did lose yesterday to the Athletics 5-4. It took 11 innings to get there, though, so it was a walk-off situation, but the Braves did end up losing the series. They have lost 11 of 14. The last time they won was against the Mets.
I don't even know. I was keeping up with it for a while. What's the series finale total at? It's like 4-12 or something in series finales. It's something insane like that, and that just adds to the fact. You're one for like 18 in your last California games, something like that. It's starting to get to a point where I'm starting to get depressed talking about it, honestly.
Well, they don't go to California anymore.
That's good.
That's good.
So that's a positive. There is a report out there, I think from Jim Bowden, that there's a couple of teams interested in one of our players, and it's Sean Murphy. The Padres... And I can't remember who the other team is. It might be the Diamondbacks, but the Padres are definitely interested in Sean Murphy. I don't see Alex doing it, because right now the catcher production, you're getting the production out of the catcher is one of the best positions for production that you're getting. The catcher position is probably ahead of the outfield. Well, I know it's ahead of the outfield other than Ronnie. And Profar's hit 3 home runs since being back, which is, I think, more than all the other outfielders that were in for him combined, other than, you know, the left fielders. But I just don't know if you do that move, because you do know that Drake Baldwin is the future of the position, but this is a position that Alex Anthopoulos wants two guys at, you know, that he wants two players at. And so I'm kind of curious what they do there. There is, you know, Ozuna is a guy that, but other than that, there's no moves to be made for this team either way, sell or buy. I don't see them getting back. I just don't see a way where they go on a 11 of 14 stretch where they win that.
I'm just going to be real with you. I'd betray them in a heartbeat. And that's just where and it's not that I don't like Sean Murphy, and I understand the whole two catcher thing. I think he's $12 million a year. He's still under contract for 3 more years. I'd find a cheaper option, and I'd get prospects back in return, and I'd try to find some more bullpen arms, starting pitchers. And I look,
I think that's great. I just don't think you're getting as much back as people believe. I really don't. I don't think that you're the price. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
You know, a good person to ask would be Grant.
Yeah, he'll be coming up at 8:20 today.
Good thing we can talk to him very soon. All right, let's hit it. As it always is, Fair Foul Friday and every Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Miss Allie Mack, take her away.
Yes, we have the great debate, Fair or Foul Friday.
Gotcha.
I got to have a flaw, right?
I'm just glad you put it on the recap the next day. I was like, that made my day.
Hey, you call me out for something, I'll put it on. Fair or foul? Bo will avoid all Yellow Jacket stings while he is taking out the nest in his backyard. Mike, you start.
How much confidence do I have in him? Look, I'm going to assume that he'll be pretty fleet of foot and he'll approach it nighttime, the right time. And maybe get a little rain on the way. Yeah, I'm going to say it's fair. I say he'll avoid any stings. I think he'll get this thing done. I got confidence in him.
I'm glad you didn't say it was foul. Because it's not. It's fair. Yeah, I've got a plan. I'm still working out a couple of thought processes of the execution in my head. But I will not go through with this plan until I have 100% in on it.
Any body armor you're going to wear? Anything? This, you know, sweatpants, something like that?
Yeah, I'm probably going to wear...
Duct tape around the ankles?
I'm probably going to wear... I thought about boots, but you can't run well in those.
Right.
So, well, the boots...
You don't want to wear cleats in this situation. Boots,
yeah, you'll slip and slide. Yeah. I'm going to wear probably my thick Under Armour sweats with either a hoodie or a rain jacket, and then there'll be a face covering. I'm going to ninja style this thing.
All right. Well, I am super invested in this situation, so keep us posted.
Can Yellow Jacket see color? I'm wearing all black.
Google it. I don't know. Fair or foul? I think we just covered this. But after the All-Star break, the Braves will hit their stride and get back to 500. Bo, you start.
Foul. Very foul. All the things I just lined. The most consistent team about this team, the thing about this team is they have been consistently inconsistent is what I should say. And there's nothing that makes me think they're just going to all of a sudden turn it on. There's no light switch. It's broken.
I'm with you. The sample size is big enough at this point where I have no faith that they're going to get this thing turned around. And look, turned around, get back to 500, no. If they could stay at 500 in the second half, I'd actually be pretty satisfied with that. If they could just play 500 ball the rest of the way with the rotation the way it is, I think that would be a good thing.
A quick interruption in programming. Yellow Jackets can see color. Allie Mack, back to you.
Can they really?
They can. They have eyes with multiple lenses allowing them to perceive a range of colors, including those in the ultraviolet spectrum.
So hold on a second. A dog can't see color, but a yellow jacket can? That's unbelievable.
Yes, they can.
Wow. You learn something new every day. Fair or foul, the first Falcons victory of the season will happen at Mercedes-Benz. Mike, you start.
They're going to beat the Bucs in week one. Feel good about it. I was trying to think back in my head what the schedule was. I was like, yeah, yes. But, yeah, they'll beat the Bucs in week one. Tristan Wirfs out. We were talking about yesterday. I feel good about that one. Beat them twice last year. I know a lot of people have them as a sleeper team. I don't see it. Let's go.
Yeah, they want to run the ball these days. I think it's fair, though. I think there's going to be some real swagger with this team walking into week one in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
All right. I hope you guys are both correct on that one. Fair or foul, it's the weekly edition of this. We will get another season of quarterback before Dylan fixes his car.
Fair. I mean, look, how long's it been, Dylan? Like, what's the timeline? Has it been a year? Been a year with the duct tape?
Nah, it'll be a year in November.
No, it's been longer than that, hasn't it?
It happened last November.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no faith that that's going to happen anytime soon. Unless a body shop decides to sponsor the hometown take in the morning. I don't know. I don't know what we got going on.
Yeah, I think it's fair as well. I also think Jared Goff is loving his decision to do this show because he is. You remember how Kirk was the star? I feel like Kirk Cousins kind of came off as the star in the first one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jared Goff to me has really come off pretty well. I mean, they've all done a good job, but Goff is just awesome, and so is his girlfriend.
I mean, wife now, FYI.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he wifed her up. I don't know.
And they are having a baby. I mean, the whole season just wrapped up like perfect for him. All right, fair or foul, Deion Sanders will get his wish, and we will see a salary cap on college athletes in the next few years.
Fair. Oh, no, fair until you got to the next few years part. Maybe in the next decade, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say in the next decade. It's just there's so everything surrounding this, there's so much legal litigation that has to go through. You know, everything is challenged in court. Everything takes a year to do. Everything is put on and off the table. Maybe in a decade. I don't see it in the next few years at all, though.
It's okay because I don't know. It's fine. I don't know. I just this landscape is so screwed up right now with college sports. It's there's way too many people involved in decision making, including government, and we need to figure everything out. And I'm not sure when it's going to happen because nobody can get out of their own way.
Well, we've got one more fair or foul. Dylan, I'm going to pull you in on this one. You and Bo get to debate this one. Fair or foul, Mike will come back with a sunburn from the beach.
It's fair. He's gone for, I think, a week. So yeah. I would say fair. At some point, he's going to get sunburned. It's going to look really dumb because his sunburns normally do, like on his forehead with his hat because he wears his hat backwards constantly. So it's fair.
Fair. He will have a sunburn. I'm going to give Mike the ultimate benefit of the doubt and just say he won't have a backwards hat sunburn like he did last year. I think he learned his lesson on that one, but he will have a sunburn.
The key is now that I put the SPS 50 on the forehead and just the, you know, the other stuff everywhere else, but the 50 goes on the forehead to make sure I'm not just completely out of line with the half moon on my head.
Yeah, hopefully Lindsay can help you out with
that. Across that.
And just in case we don't say it before the end of the show, I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
Thank you very much.
It is very much deserved.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Coming up, we've got the wake up call 404-726-0929. Jump on the show with us right now. Mike was just talking about this console he bought that has 40,000 video games on it. What was your video game as a kid? Mortal Kombat, Pac-Man, Primal Rage. I love that one.
I played Driver on this console. That's like the original Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, nobody remembers Driver. It was like the original GTA.
Well, I'm glad it's on there for you. What was your video game as a kid? What did you always pop in that console? And also, will the Braves play 500 baseball after the All-Star break, after some time off? Give us a call right now, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.